Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive. That was so professional. That was a really professional one. Okay, I was scrambling just now because obviously Caitlin and I had our like hour and a half just talk about life before before we press record, and then she was like, okay, I'll be right back, and then we'll get into it. And then I was like, okay, wait, we're about to start. What did I even watch? Did I watch anything? Do I have things to speak about when it comes to horror? I went on my Letterboxd, and when I went on Letterboxd, I saw something you logged recently, which I'm excited to hear about. But before that, I haven't watched any horror. I've been in like work, catch up, work, work mode, and none of it has included horror other than what we're going to talk about today.
Sure.
But I just wanted to say that this is our first September episode, I believe.
Oh, okay.
It should be. And so I just want everyone to know that September's on my mind. Fall, autumn, spooky times is on my mind. And I have made an insane list of every like movie and show and like everything that I want to watch during that time.
Oh, dear.
And some of them are old, some of them are new. But I've already started my rewatch of Charmed, which I've been trying to watch properly for years now. It was a show when I was younger that my mom always put on, and it was on. And like, I know the big things and who ends up with who and these, and I know the characters and, but like, I've never properly watched the show, and like, I don't know a lot. So I've been trying to do a rewatch for a couple of years now, and then I just get busy and I always want to watch it in fall. And then all of a sudden Christmas, and I'm like, do I watch Charmed?
Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I've become obsessed with the Horror Bandwagon channel. I'm doing rewatch with them, like their watch longs on Patreon, and I'm also watching Vampire Diaries with them right now, living for that. So my like spooky season, I try to wait till September 1st, but there's so much I want to watch that I'm like, no, it's starting mid-August for me. Like, I'm here. I'm fully in the spooky vibe.
I love that for you. No, that's amazing. Like, I'm with you that, like, I keep going to the store and I get my coffee creamer and the pumpkin spice is sitting there. And I'm like, September 1st, you gotta wait. It's not time yet.
No, even that. I told my boyfriend, went grocery shopping recently. He was like, do you want anything? I was like, it's that time of the year. If you see anything pumpkin and you think I would like it, just bring it to me. And so yesterday he brought home some cream cheese pumpkin cookies. And I was like, thank you so much. It's time. It. Like, I can't hold it in.
Luckily, I mean, I don't know. I guess luckely. Like, it's just been so hot that, like, I can't get into spooky season yet. Because it's just like, I am sweating and dying over here. So, but I am so excited. I can't wait.
I know. Okay, please do talk to me about what you watched recently. Okay. I haven't seen the movie I'm thinking of. I don't know if there's more, but the one I'm thinking of, I've actually not seen it, but I need to know what happened.
Okay, so before I get to that, there's another movie that I started last night and then fell asleep during, not because – this is one of those not because of the movie, but because I was just tired. I started Clown in a Cornfield last night.
Oh, my gosh.
Finally. It's like I'm in a freaking year at least. I was actually like – I was enjoying it.
Yes.
Now, even though, again, I know the story because it was a podcast episode, I was enjoying it. And I think I was starting to get to the point of the movie where it does start to fall apart.
Yes.
When I fell asleep. Because, like, the beginning and the setup and everything, I was like, oh, I kind of vibe with this. Like, I like this. So really, not bad. I think they're so – it's so funny how heavy-handed they are with, like, the adults are bad. You're like, I get it. I understand.
Heavy-handed is the perfect word. Yeah.
It's really funny. But I'll finish that maybe tonight.
Yeah.
This morning, on the other hand, now listen, I've been in an era of trying to like finish franchises that I started a long time ago because I want to be caught up. So the next one that I was tackling is the 28 Days Later franchise. So this morning I watched 28 Weeks Later.
Yes. This is only the first sequel.
This is the first sequel.
Weeks, Years, Bone Temple.
Yes. Because obviously from Years you go to Bone Temple. That, okay. Okay. I gave 28 Weeks Later a singular star.
Yep.
on Letterboxd because the movie itself, premise-wise, is infuriating. It's one of those films where everything that's being done, you're like, that doesn't make sense. Why would they do that? Why are they doing that? That's bad. Every little thing in that movie is like, no sane person would make this decision. I know that's a common thing in horror. Like, sure. Oh, why would they? But this is like next level. The freaking U.S. military is involved and they're doing the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. And I'm telling you, like, I've been thinking about it. I was like, if we did this as an episode, we would get a 99 because we wouldn't be doing all that. And it made me so mad. And it was just boring as all hell.
That's the worst thing a movie can be. It's like, that's the final nail in the coffin for the one star.
Yes. I was just like, I was literally yawning throughout this film.
Yeah.
It was just not, I'm sad, but I looked it up while I was watching it, mind you. I was like on my phone checking the Letterboxd ratings. This is the lowest rated in
okay,
the franchise.
I was going to say it. I wonder, because I don't know much about like the public perception of the franchise other than great first film. And I think people liked Bone Temple.
Yes, those are the two highest rated.
And
I'm
then
sure.
like the middle ones, I like have no idea what the general consensus is.
Yes. And that's the interesting thing is because people would be like, oh, hope you continue. You have to see Bone Temple. But nobody was like, oh, you have to see 28 Weeks Later.
Right.
Mind you, it still has a 2.9. So it's way more generally favored than I see it.
But people should understand. It's at a level where people will probably be like, fair enough.
Fair enough. Like, it's just one of those movies that, like, pisses you off that you can't even enjoy it anymore.
Ugh.
Because it's just like, no, this should never have happened in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was my morning because I did watch that this morning. But it's okay. I've watched it.
Well, now you get to learn about the loved ones.
Can we tell them what happened with this movie?
What happened with this movie?
Wait, no, because you texted me and asked if I'd seen it, and I said no, because I hadn't. And then we were talking last week, and I was like, what was the movie you said again? And you said The Loved Ones, and then I Googled it, and I just, like, the glitter that came up, and I went, oh, this is the vibe. So I'm really...
That's funny.
Intrigued and concerned based on the cover of the movie that I saw. I went... Oh.
It's got an aesthetic for sure.
Yeah.
A strong aesthetic. But you saying that actually reminds me of something that happened with my boyfriend recently.
Oh.
Actually, you and my boyfriend recently.
Oh, dear.
Where you spooked him for you got him. I don't know if you know this, but you spooked him.
When did I? I know it. I know what you're going to tell me. Well, because he messaged me back. Go ahead.
So my boyfriend like puts together the worksheets for us, the worksheets that you guys can interact with on Discord, submit your own scores. He like makes those for us. And so we have to like send him information every week. And so last week, Caitlin sent him the link to what he needed.
Yeah,
The text was the title. So she sent him They Will Kill You. And he's behind on the podcast. He's like finishing up. He's back in like November, I think, at this point.
Fair enough.
Maybe December. He might have got caught up to the new year. But he didn't know that was a movie title we'd worked on recently. And the link didn't show up in the preview of the message.
Yeah,
he just got a message from Caitlin last week of her telling him, they will kill you. And he was like, am I being threatened right now? Like, what is this? And then, you know,
then
it made sense
like,
when he saw the link.
Yes. No. And it's funny because I almost put like title, they will kill you, because I knew. I saw that. And, well, that's a little sketch, but it's okay.
A choice. I love it was a choice.
There was a conscious choice to not include the context. And then, funnily, he also came into my Twitch chat and told me about actually making that worksheet and was like, I'm sorry, what is this question?
Yes.
There was, you know, the question near the end.
I got the same. Yep. He was like, he often is like, because he doesn't know these movies. He's not a horror guy. He pretty much hates horror. Like, if I love a horror movie enough, he'll watch it with me. But, like, it's not his genre. But he listens to the podcast episodes because he's a good boyfriend. And, like...
Thanks, Corey.
Thank you so much for the support. But he doesn't know he doesn't know what's going on. And so he just sees all these out of context questions that we're asking each other. And he's just scared of me more and more week by week.
like why you guys are asking each other what now?
I think my favorite one that he was scared of was when he was like, it was a question that we asked in a previous episode. You should know which episode it is when I tell you this question. It was like, do you run away when somebody serves you your ex-lover's head on an ice cream cone? Like some shit like that. And he's like, hey, so what's going on?
What's the vibe there? Oh my God, yes.
Oh, it's so funny. I love that. It's so good. Okay. The loved ones. Let me walk you through why I chose to cover the loved ones this week.
Ooh, there's lore.
Yes, there was like a step-by-step where I was like, this sells me, this sells me, this sells me.
Aha, okay, I know what you mean.
First off, I was perusing Letterboxd, of course. Mm-hmm. And the little synopsis on there immediately drew me in because it's not really something that I've seen too often.
Okay.
There's only one other movie that I can think follows kind of like this premise, mm-hmm. I guess. So I was like, okay, this isn't too common. Let me see. Then I see that it has a 98% Rotten Tomato score.
What?
Yeah. I was like, that's weird.
Who rated it? The director's mom and that's it? Like, yeah, what the heck?
It's weird because it's like, it doesn't give the vibe on a judgmental look at the cover and the synopsis, right. You know, that it would be a 98%er, but I was like, damn, okay.
Right. Let me make it clear. I don't know the synopsis. I'm just going based on the cover. It was not giving 98%.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
And then I see that it was the directorial debut for Sean Byrne.
Okay.
Who also directed Dangerous Animals in 2025.
Oh, and you know I love that movie. Oh, I love Dangerous Animals so much.
Yes.
Oh my God, no way. That's so interesting.
I know. I was just like, boom, boom, boom. Well, I got to do it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Loved Ones premiered on September 13th, 2009 at Toronto International Film Festival and then had a limited theatrical release in the US in 2012, 3 years later.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know. Yeah.
Crazy.
It didn't do great. With a $4 million budget, it brought in $358,000 at the box office.
Yeah.
Right.
That's great.
I know. The main character, Brent, is played by Xavier Samuel, who I know best as Riley from Twilight, in case that means anything to anyone.
Hmm. Okay.
And before we get into it, I just want to let everyone know that this movie did actually fuck me up a little bit. Yeah, it was a hard watch. I know. I know what you mean.
No, yeah, I love that for you. Like, that's great. Because we talked a little bit last week because we had this will be our third episode in a row. It's kind of like maybe a little.
We're getting like dark.
A little dark right now.
And we're having so many dark episodes in a row.
Next week, don't you worry. I got you guys.
Oh, yeah.
We're good. Oh, yeah.
We're set for next week. But
so just you don't have to worry about it being too dark next week. That's all I'm saying.
I like genuinely have no idea how this episode's going to go as far as tone, like whether it is going to be dark or whether we're going to bring light to it. Like, I can't tell.
Sure. Yep. You never know until we get into it. You just don't know.
Also, reminder that we do have a Patreon where you can watch the video version of today's episode along with some exclusive bonus content. We just had another bonus video come out a couple weeks ago now where we talked about Obsession. Mm. And it was a very vulnerable, nuanced discussion, which is cool to have. And then our Discord is linked below as well if you'd like to follow along with the interactive worksheet that we fill out ourselves along the way. We open on a car ride.
No. Wait, it was so funny. I'm so sorry I'm already interrupting you.
It's
like 2 seconds in. I was watching Clown in a Cornfield last night and I couldn't remember the script, but I could tell it was going to be like, I felt the formula.
The energy.
Because it started with like this violent scene. I'm like, we're cutting to a car ride. I know we are. And then we cut to the car ride and I was like, yeah.
Yes. You can just feel it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Brent and his dad are driving down the road and we establish a really great father-son bond here. Brent is like a teenager in high school. And Brent's giving his dad shit about like how old and beat up his car is. It doesn't even have a CD player. Like, oh, it's so old.
Oh, old.
And his dad makes fun of his emo music taste. So, like, they're taking jabs at each other.
Sure.
And as they're, like, lovingly poking fun at each other, a random shirtless man appears in the middle of the road. And he appears to be a bit scraped up, a little bloody.
Oh, okay.
Brent swerves around him at the last second, but then he crashes straight into a tree.
Uh-oh.
And we cut to 6 months later.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's not what I was expecting. Interesting.
We learn that Brent has survived the crash, but his father did not.
Oh, of course, because you're going to set up like something sweet just to rip it away.
Exactly. No, they did that on purpose to fuck with us. The bond was so cute. The dialogue was good. It felt so natural. And then he's gone.
Of course.
Now Brent is standing at his locker at school when his friend Jamie comes up to him and prom is coming up. So Jamie tries to gift Brent a condom that he's had in his wallet for who knows how long because Brent has a girlfriend, Holly. Mm-hmm. And Jamie's like, ah, prom night, perfect time to finally do it with Holly. Here you go. Brent turns down the condom and then notices a girl walking down the hall and her name is Mia. And she's like a 2009 MySpace goth dream girl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you.
And Brent nods at her to get Jamie to turn around and look because this is very clearly Jamie's crush. Mm. So Jamie sees her and he's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. This is my time.
Oh, boy.
And he runs after her into the classroom she just walked into. And there's just like 15 seconds of silence. And we're just staring at an empty hallway before Jamie pops back out into the hallway and is like, she said yes.
Oh,
I know.
I was not expecting you to say that.
Me either. She's out of his league.
Okay.
So, yay, Jamie has secured his dream date. Brent's just kind of laughing, shaking his head to himself. This friend of his is something else. And then a girl named Lola walks up to Brent and she appears like painfully shy. Mm. But eventually she stammers out, Brent, would you go to the prom with me?
Oh.
And Brent smiles awkwardly and is like, I'm sorry, I'm going with Holly. Sorry. Like, he's not a dick about it. And
right.
Yeah.
But he's
not like, LOL.
Yeah.
But it's uncomfortable. Yeah. And then he walks away and she just stands there like forlorn staring after him. Now, when Brent walks outside of the school, Holly is waiting for him and she excitedly holds up some car keys. She just passed her driver's test.
Nice.
He's very happy for her and tells her well done. And he's like, someone just asked me to the dance. Just so you know, I'm a hot commodity around here. And of course, Holly's like, oh my God, who? And he keeps his cards close to his chest and we cut to them making out in her car in the parking lot. And they're playing this like flirty game of her being like, tell me who asked you. And he's like, I don't know. I need more than that.
Crazy. And then
Holly will take off another item of clothing and ask again until eventually they forget about it. And it all just like ends up with Holly giving him a blowjob.
Nice.
So we pan to the car window while that's happening to find Lola standing there staring in at them.
Ew.
Upset. Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering, like, is this Lola person going to end up being like weird obsession kind of? Is she going to be some creepy person? I don't know.
Yeah. For being rejected.
Yeah.
It's also important to note that when Holly and Brent were fooling around and his shirt first came off, it was revealed that he wears a chain necklace with a razor blade on it, and we see self-harm cuts on his upper arm.
Oh.
Which I assume is like, I mean, I assume that started after his dad died.
Right. Yeah, that would probably be the implication.
Yeah. Now, a little while later, Holly's dropping Brent off at home, and there's this moment where Holly asks him if his mom knows that she got her license today and if it's okay for her to pick him up for the dance tonight. Mm. And Brent is like, she's going to have to get over it. Yeah, pick me up.
Okay.
And then he ends up coming clean and telling her that it was Lola who asked him to the dance, which Holly kind of laughs at and rolls her eyes. This is no big deal. Like, she doesn't perceive Lola as a girl who could steal her man's.
Right.
And then inside the house, Brent's mom is anxious about this driving situation tonight and begs Brent to take a cab instead. And he's like, what's the difference? It's still a car.
Yeah.
And she says, yeah, but the driver would be more experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And that hurts Brent. And he goes, oh, unlike me, which is why dad is dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't even think about okay, yeah.
That's what's going on here. Like, she doesn't want him. She's scared of, like, a car accident at any given moment and just
yeah
doesn't want children driving places, which like I literally thinking back to me, like this is not something, this is very serious. Thank God I've never had like a car accidents right. or so scary and they happen so fast and then whatever. But no, thinking back to me driving between the ages of like 16 and 18, I'm like, yeah. Oh, I wouldn't get in that car.
Like, right. No, that's so true. It's so scary.
It wasn't even like I was reckless or anything. Yeah. But it's just like thinking of how like little experience I had and just how I was driving.
You're
is
so
like,
young.
Oh my gosh. So I get it, but like you can't say that to him and make him feel bad about what happened. He wasn't driving recklessly. It was like the situation was something that he did the best he could.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So
she leaves the conversation alone after he says that. Is like, oh, so you're blaming me? Mm-hmm. And she just doesn't respond and lets him go that night. Yeah, so it's like a little bit of her kind of does. And then, but she is going to let Holly pick him up and everything. So,
okay.
But he needs a breather after that talk. So he takes their dog and goes out on a little scenic walk. There's this giant rock cliff that he just, did I mention? It doesn't matter, but we're in Australia, which is also Dangerous Animals. Oh. It's like an Australian film.
Oh, true. Okay, yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
So there's like so much, just to picture what outside looks like, there's like so much space and like hilly and So there's this giant rock cliff that he just casually climbs up and then his dog takes the long way around and meets him at the top. And then they just lay there together and he's blasting music in his headphones and he doesn't notice a man walking up behind him.
Oh.
The man has a chloroform rag, which he quickly presses to Brent's nose and mouth.
What?
And Brent starts fighting back, but the guy keeps a good hold on him and keeps that rag in place until eventually he passes out and gets dragged away.
That is not where I thought this was going.
I know. Same.
What?
Now cut to his friend Jamie, who's just pulled up in his car outside Mia's house. He's drenching himself in Axe body spray and breath spray.
Oh, no.
And then he gets out and walks up to her driveway with some flowers. And she comes out in her black mini dress. And he hands her the flowers. And they just kind of stand there staring at each other like, okay, what do we do now?
Yay.
But then that's when the parents come out and they want pictures. And it's like so painfully teenager.
Yes.
When they take pictures, his hand is almost touching her shoulder, but just like hovering it.
Oh my God. Yes.
And he makes a comment about not being able to find black flowers for Mia. And her parents are like, oh, nice.
Okay.
The scene is just a great representation of awkward adolescence. Mm-hmm. Now it's to the point where Holly has arrived to pick up Brent, but he's still not back from his walk. So Holly and his mom, they were getting worried.
Yep.
And then something happens that made me nearly stop watching the movie.
Oh, God. Okay.
But I'll explain why I decided to continue in a minute.
Okay, I'm scared.
They're in the yard calling out to Brent when the dog, covered in blood, comes crawling up the front path, whining.
Oh,
he has been stabbed.
Oh.
This is confirmation as well to them that something really bad has happened to Brent.
Yep.
And Holly gets the dog in her car and starts to drive to the closest emergency vet, but the dog dies in the passenger seat before she can make it. And I hated every second of this. And I was literally, I grabbed the remote and I was like, I don't even want.
You're because ready to turn that shit off.
Yeah, I was ready. And I think I told you this. I might have said this on the podcast last week where the top letterboxed comment was something like, wow, this is some twisted shit. Like, this is, you know what I'm, something like that. So I was like, is this the kind of twisted shit it's going to be where it's just this level this bad the whole time? Is it going to be exploitation horror is what I was like worried about.
Sure.
When I saw this, but then it cuts to Jamie arriving at the dance in the parking lot with Mia. And he parks the car and then gets out and tries to slide across the hood to her side, but he falls on his ass in the process. And it just, like, made me giggle.
And you're like, oh, okay, no, we're back.
Yeah. So, like, that wonderfully timed giggle really made me push through and give the rest of the movie a chance, which I am happy I did. It was good. It's a good movie.
They knew where to put that comedic relief. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. So, anyways, Jamie does end up getting off the ground and makes it to Mia's side, opening her door for her. And she's just looking at him like, wow, you're, like, such a dork.
Yes.
Now cut to a creepy truck driving through back roads.
Mm-hmm.
You just know this is the man that kidnapped Brent.
Yep.
And yes, it's confirmed. The truck arrives at their desolate house in the middle of nowhere. Big Ooh. Open field, middle of nowhere. Not sure. Even forest.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a different vibe.
Which is like low-key worse.
Yeah, because there's nowhere to like hide.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, that's rough.
So this man is named Eric. He pops open the trunk to reveal a tied up Brent with his rejected daughter Lola at his side peering in. Eric is Lola's father.
Okay. Crazy family.
Yeah. When Lola sees the state of Brent, she's like, oh no, he looks dead. You've ruined it. And Eric tries to search for a pulse, and although it's weak, he does find it. And Lola pushes her dad off of Brent and is like, let me hear. And then she leans down to listen to Brent's heartbeat with like a dreamy look in her eyes and starts mimicking the sound of the beats.
Oh, okay.
And this is our first survivability check-in.
Okay. Ew.
Yeah.
It's just it's uncomfortable so far. Love that.
Definitely. I have three questions for you for Act One.
Alrighty.
First, would you accept Lola's promposal despite already having another date?
No.
Mm-hmm.
One.
Me too. I went like, one. Obviously, I didn't go zero because I was just like,
yep.
I don't know. But like one.
Yeah, one. Also, just a reminder to anyone using the interactable worksheet, you can't put zero on that thing. So
right. Yes.
That's also part of why I go one.
That's true. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. How unlikely are you to go on a scenic walk with your dog and listen to music at the top of a rock cliff?
So what I'm getting out of this is that you want me to die.
This is what leads up to everything.
Oh, man.
I know. It's really bad.
17.
I went 18.
Oh, my God. Look at us.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Because it's like I am kind of aware of the headphones situation mm-hmm. when I'm alone outside.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you got to have your head on a swivel a little bit if you have your headphones in because someone could come up behind you.
Absolutely.
But I feel like with this situation, it's like clearly he's come to this spot many times and it's near his house and he has this like level of comfort here. So I feel like I also have places like that where it's like I've been here a million times and I feel like I can put my headphones in.
Yeah. And you have your dog.
And your dog is there too. So yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that.
And finally, could you fight off and escape a chloroform sneak attack from a 40-year-old man?
I mean, no.
Yeah.
Sneak attack? No. Yeah. I can't fight a man to begin with.
Right.
It just feels right. So I'm going to say 18, like right next to where I was before that. Because like there's a chance I could like, and then run.
Yes.
Like that's my thought process.
Just like grab the ears. Something, you know what I mean? Something could help, but I feel that. I went 9. I just don't think I'd have a chance when they just have that hold on you from the jump.
Exactly. No, it's the sneak attack part that does make it particularly like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, my Act 1 score comes out to a 9%.
I'm really upset about this. Mine's a 12.
Yeah.
That's crazy for, like, this movie to be so low to start. That's wild.
I know. I did not expect it either. Like, even when I sat down to write the questions, I didn't realize until I wrote them, like, oh, we are fucked.
Yeah. No, that happens sometimes. You're like, wait a second. Uh-oh.
Okay. Now we cut to Lola's pink girly pop bedroom.
Oh.
The song Not Pretty Enough by Kacey Chambers is playing. It's giving 2000s Hilary Duff vibes.
Okay, sure.
I'm going to sing it for you.
Okay.
Am I not pretty enough? Is my heart too broken? Na, na, na. That's the vibe.
Yes, and I feel it.
It's in my head because it gets played a lot during this movie.
Oh, okay. Yep.
It's like her song, you know?
Sure.
And Gourley is adding a new picture into her scrapbook, Brent's yearbook picture.
Oh.
And then her dad walks in with a bag and she runs over to him all excited. He has bought her a prom dress and heels.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Dad.
Dad just knows what she likes, I guess.
Uh-huh.
She loves the shiny pink dress and Eric is happy to see her happy and is about to leave, but she's like, wait, tell me how it looks. And then she strips down to her bra and underwear in front of him.
Oh.
And he's extremely fixated on her.
Oh.
And her body.
Oh.
A lot of uncomfortable shots mm-hmm. of her pulling the clothes off and getting her dress on.
Okay.
And then she puts the dress on and asks him how she looks. And he answers, pretty as a picture. And she's just like basking in his praise. And it's all extremely uncomfortable.
I have to ask you, what level of like gross versus mental illness does it feel like we're dealing with here? You know what I mean? Like, I can't tell if these people are just crazy or are they just like disgusting?
It's hard to say because I feel like there's like mental illness that goes into all.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But absolutely. I know that there's like more of a distinction that is more easily made in movies and fiction and stuff when it comes to that.
Right.
And I think it's definitely on the crazy side.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say we got like maybe a 60-40, 60% okay. crazy, 40% mentally ill as far as fictional character representation goes.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Now it's time to get a little resi action.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yes, tea.
Brent has been dressed up in a tux and he wakes up tied up at a chair at their kitchen table.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes.
A great scene.
So good.
Lola's sitting to his left in her dress. Eric is sitting across from him in a tux of his own. And we see the room is decked out in streamers and balloons and a disco ball.
Oh, a disco ball.
Cute. And there's an older woman sitting on his right as well. She's dressed up too, but she looks extremely out of it and has a concerning old wound in the middle of her forehead.
Oh.
The family calls her Bright Eyes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, obviously, Brent starts struggling against his restraints, trying to get free of the ropes. That's not going to happen. And then Eric hands Lola a bottle of mysterious liquid that she then uses to fill up a syringe. Eric walks over and behind Brent, pulling his head back in place and exposing his neck. And Lola comes over with the syringe and sticks it into his throat. And he starts screaming. But at a certain point, that liquid that they're injecting cuts off his windpipe or something somehow. So he can't scream anymore. It just comes out like as air.
Okay. Does it seem to be only like affecting his like vocal or also his movement?
Vocal. It's just only vocal.
Oh, weird. I don't even know what that would be.
I know. Yeah, me either. Then Lola and her dad look at each other and in sing-songy voices, like this is part of a routine that they love. They go, we can't hear you. And then Lola's like, okay, Dad, take our pictures. And she sits on Brent's lap.
So weird.
I know.
It's like, I hate it.
It's really
so
awful.
Much. Oh
it's
my
really bad.
God, it's crazy.
And she sits on Brent's lap. Pictures are taken. Eric says that he wants to get one with Bright Eyes in there too, which makes Lola roll her eyes. But she's like, okay, quickly, like only one. So Eric then literally has to pick up and bring Bright Eyes over to sit on Brent's other knee.
Oh.
And he moves her. She's being moved around like she's a doll. Like she does not have any autonomy over her mind or body. She's just like a mannequin, a living mannequin.
Sure.
But Dad gets what he wants, a cute little picture of Brent, Bright Eyes, and Lola. And now it's time to eat some fried chicken for dinner.
Okay. Sounds
and
good.
Great. Yeah. And Lola eats one of her pieces down to the bone until she's left with a wishbone, which she offers up to her dad, telling him to make a wish. And they both silently make their wishes before pulling the bone apart. But It splits right down the middle, so there's no winner.
I see.
And Eric goes, "It's all right. I wished for you anyway." And then Lola looks back at her dad, and goes, "I wished for you too." And then they just stare at each other longingly, and I want to die.
Yep, I want to die as well.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe it's a good thing I'm not going to survive this because I don't want to.
We don't want to. So
that's fine with me.
Yeah, yeah. Then Lola gets very serious and asks her father, "Well, who looks prettier, me or Bright Eyes?" And Eric looks uncomfortable with the question and eventually says, "I think you both look pretty." Mm. And then he turns his attention to Bright Eyes and asks if everything is okay, like, why isn't she eating? And Lola grabs a piece of chicken and starts shoving it into Bright Eyes' mouth, warning her, "You better not get too skinny or Daddy won't like you anymore." And then she starts pouring milk down Bright Eyes' throat. Uh-huh. And Brent is in the back looking at all this, obviously, like, what the fuck?
Right? Yes. I forgot he was here. Like,
yeah. It's crazy. And Lola notices his stare now and goes, "What are you looking at? Do you want some?" And she grabs a piece of chicken and says, "Open up for the airplane."
Oh,
and then she
presses
it against his mouth, which he refuses to open.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, "Is it finger licking good?"
Ew, ew, ew.
Yeah. She keeps asking that question and he keeps refusing to answer, to the point where she tells her dad to grab the hammer.
The hammer?
So he does, and just sets it on the table like a silent warning that he's gonna get it. Brett's gonna get it if he doesn't comply with them.
Okay.
So when Lola tells him to open up and suck on her finger, he gives in. And when he does, she starts like getting off on it and moaning.
Okay.
Until her dad clears his throat and she like abruptly pulls her finger out of Brent's mouth like she didn't realize what she was doing.
Yep. Okay.
And then she asks if Brent has to use the bathroom, and he nods, and she says, "Ones or twos?" And he nods at ones. So she grabs a cup of milk on the table, she chugs it down, and then she gets on her knees in front of Brent and pulls down his pants and his underwear, exposing him, and then lines the cup up with his dick, telling him to go ahead and pee. And obviously he doesn't just pee, like, we're pee shy, but also traumatized and terrified. And like being assaulted. So
yeah,
not a great combo. Eric walks over with the hammer then when Brent doesn't go, and Lola tells her dad to grab a nail too. And if Brent doesn't pee by the time she counts down from 10, they'll nail his dick down into the chair.
What
yeah.
the fuck is this movie?
Yeah. So she starts counting, and Brent starts panicking, and by the time she makes it to 9, he pees. And Lola goes, "Oh, look, it's crying. I'd better kiss it better."
Ew, no, my God.
And then she snaps and goes, "Or maybe I'll bite it off so she can never kiss it again." Very, like, butthurt with the rejection, very jealous.
Right, yeah.
Well, Brent has been working on undoing the rope binding behind his wrists.
Oh, sure.
And he takes this moment to lift up his legs and kick Lola backwards, and she goes flying.
Ooh.
Eric runs to her, of course, immediately. And with his hands free now, he gets up from his chair and hops out of the room because his legs are still tied at the ankles.
Oh, sure, yeah.
He manages to hop all the way out of the house and dives underneath Eric's truck outside for a hiding place, like just for a momentary hiding place.
Because we're in a field, so like, yeah, it's not exactly many options.
Eric comes out soon after and searches for him, doesn't see him, but then he gets into his truck, and I don't know why, and I don't know where he's planning to go. I mean, I guess he's just getting in his truck to drive around to look for him because he doesn't immediately see him.
Sure.
Brent is untying his legs as fast as possible underneath this truck, and eventually he does, but that's when Eric backs up, and then his headlights reveal Brent on the ground in front of him.
Oh, shit.
We're really disoriented and in the middle of nowhere. So, like, Brent, like I said, with describing the field situation, he doesn't have anywhere to run.
Yep.
But there is a tree, like a singular tree in this backyard. So Brent decides to climb it when he's about to get hit by the truck.
Yeah, I guess, right?
And exactly, yeah. And then the truck like rams into the tree, traumatizing.
Uh-huh.
Eric gets out of the car and starts circling the tree when Lola comes running out and Eric asks where Bright Eyes is. And Lola's like, don't worry, she's locked back up in her room. And then she lifts up a flashlight that she brought out and shines it on Brent in the tree. And she gasps in excitement. There he is. And Eric tells her to keep the light on him while he starts to throw rocks up at him. And after a few throws, Lola obviously feels excluded from the fun. And she gives her dad the flashlight so she can throw instead.
Yes.
And she starts throwing these rocks while laughing hysterically until one of them causes Brent to finally fall out of the tree.
Oh.
Hitting the hood of the car before then falling onto the ground.
Ouch.
And we cut to them setting him back up at the chair in the dining area, tied up at the wrists and ankles once again. But this time, Eric grabs a knife, points it down onto the top of one of Brent's feet, then grabs his hammer and hammers the knife into Brent's foot, through it and into the floorboards as an extra precaution this time.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. Brent is screaming out in pain to the best of his ability, but his windpipe is like still fucked up.
Right. Forgot about that. Yep.
It's a really interesting sound because it's not just air, but it's like muffled. I don't know how to describe it. Lola gets up in his face and tells him to cry. Like he's screaming in pain, but he's not crying.
Sure.
And we get a bit of a face off here where Brent decides to stop screaming and he just stares back at her, refusing to cry or scream as Eric continues to hammer the knife in. Now back over to Carla, who is Brent's mom, and his girlfriend, Holly. They're just sitting alone in her empty house, not sure what to do. And Carla confesses that Brent thinks that she blames him for what happened to his father. Mm-hmm. And Holly asks if she's like, well, do you? And Carla just stares back like, yeah, maybe I do, but like, I don't mean to. Like, do you know what I mean? It's one of those things where she does, but she still loves her son. You know?
Right. And like it's hard to not feel some amount of that emotion. Like,
I agree.
Especially if you weren't there and you didn't see exactly what happened.
Yeah.
It's just it sucks that like she hasn't been able to regulate that properly.
I agree. You know? They get a knock on their door and an officer is standing there. They called someone obviously and there's someone here that has been searching around and he found some of Brent's things left behind on the cliff, his iPod and his headphones. Things like that. So a search party is going to be pulled together for him. Back to the crazies, Lola and Eric are showing Brent Lola's scrapbook. She is very eagerly flipping through the pages, which are full of pictures of all her previous victims.
Okay.
And she's telling Brent like little anecdotes about each one. And when she flips to a page with a boy named Duncan Fletcher, she goes, he wet himself, and then she and her dad like start laughing over the memory as Brent just sits there between them, pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
She also shows him a Polaroid of Duncan where she carved a big heart with her initials into his chest.
Okay.
On we go, flipping through pages of victims until she gets to one page where her demeanor gets sentimental. And she's like, oh. Here's the one that got away, Timmy Valentine. And when Brent sees the pictures of him in the scrapbook, he immediately recognizes him as the guy that was standing in the middle of the road bloody that led to his car accident.
Oh.
Yeah. So Lola continues, he's probably dead by now, and moves on to the next page. So he literally got away. He literally escaped.
Wow.
Brent's page that she's been crafting is the next page, and she looks to her father and goes, I'm ready to draw him now. Now we cut to Jamie and Mia. We keep cutting to them with these little scenes. I haven't included every single one, but they're just having like a normal teenager prom night.
Okay, good for them.
Yes. Well, they haven't exactly made it to prom yet. They're sitting in his car outside of the dance getting high.
Oh, okay.
And they have for a while now. So Jamie's like, should we go inside now? And she teases him asking if like he's sick of her already. And he immediately says no. He's so scared. Yeah. He's like, no, I like, he really likes her. So he's like scared of saying the wrong thing.
Right.
It's like, no, I just think maybe we should eat because they've literally just been smoking for who knows how long. So to feed him, she like shotguns her smoke into his mouth, and that's all we get from them for now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just are still getting high in the parking lot.
All right.
Back to Brent. Unfortunately, Lola has completed her drawing, and Brent now has a giant heart carved into his chest with Lola's initials drawn in the middle, LS, Lola Stone. Both Lola and her father step back and admire her work, and Eric's like, wow, your drawings get better every time.
Mm-hmm.
Then Eric starts tossing some salt from a giant salt shaker onto Brent's open wound, so he's writhing around in incredible pain.
Mm-hmm.
Lola jokes, not too much, it's supposed to be bad for you. And then she grabs the shaker from her dad, uncaps it completely. I'm telling you, this is not like your little tabletop salt. It is like a like an industrial Costco salt situation.
Oh, snap.
Uncaps it completely and throws a giant chunk on Brent's chest.
Uh-huh.
Brent's still writhing, screaming, but it's like only gasping for air because of whatever they did to him. And Eric and Lola sing to him over and over, we can't hear you, we can't hear you, as he tries to scream.
Yeah.
Back to Holly at Brent's house, she goes up to his room and finds a card on his bed with like Humpty Dumpty on it. When she opens it up, she sees a note that Brent has written inside of it. And she realizes this was meant for her tonight. And it says, thanks for doing what all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't. I love you. So
that's corny and
it's cute. Corny, but it's cute. Yeah. And it's his first I love you. Because earlier she said I love you to him and he like didn't say it back. And it's like, oh, he was saving it for a moment.
I see.
Now we know. Yeah. So that makes her emotional. And we hope more than ever that Brent is going to be okay and they can be together. You're really rooting for them.
Right.
Again, back to Mia and Jamie in the parking lot. He suggests yet again that they should go inside now.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally nods. She opens her door and then just falls right out onto the pavement.
All right.
He hurries to her side and helps her up and they head into the dance.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Over at Lola's house, Eric is announcing the queen of the dance. And who would have guessed it? It's Lola Stone.
What? That's crazy.
Big upset.
Yeah.
She's overcome with emotion and she has a little party blower that she blows into and her dad does too. And then cut to Brent with a paper crown on his head now and a party blower hanging from his mouth.
Nice.
And Lola scolds him and is like, blow your whistle, king. And Brent's on his last leg here and doesn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
So Lola turns and says like, daddy. And Eric holds up the hammer, and Brent uses as much strength that he can muster to blow on the stupid party horn.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Then, obviously, Lola gets crowned with a pink crown of her own, and pictures are taken of her and Brent in their crowns together, and now it's time to dance.
Oh, good.
Cut to the school. Mia and Jamie are inside, swaying together amongst all the other couples on the dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
She's so high and holding on to him for dear life. And then she grabs his crotch.
Oh.
And starts rubbing him there. And he is like, oh, cool. But he wasn't expecting that, you know?
Right. Yeah, no.
Literally everyone around them notices and is staring at them.
Oh, God. I can't. Yeah. I really can't.
It's the worst part of the movie for Caitlin.
Yes. Oh, my God.
One guy pretty much, like, gives him a thumbs up. And then Mia notices other people, like, people are looking and she snaps at them and is like, what do you think you're looking at? And
well.
Yeah. And that's when a teacher comes over and tells them that if they want to do that sort of thing, they'd better go somewhere else. So they leave.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. The teacher said you better go somewhere else?
Yeah. You know what? That's not actually that crazy to me.
I guess a teacher
should say, like, stop, just stop.
Yeah.
But I, like, that's definitely the correct thing to do here. But I feel like that energy of, like, just take it somewhere else is kind of the energy I grew up with personally in a school environment.
I grew up in Catholic schools.
Right.
So the thought of a teacher just being like, hey, go do that somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you can kick
the public school system.
It's like, that's so funny. Oh my God.
So yeah, they leave. Now we go to Lola and Brent, who are also dancing under the disco ball, of course.
Right.
He's still pinned to the floor with the knife in his foot.
Oh.
But that doesn't stop her from like swaying with him in place. Yeah.
Oh my God.
As her father stands on a chair behind Brent, sprinkling like sparkles down on both of them to make it a very magical moment.
That's so nice.
And the song, Am I Not Pretty Enough, is playing again as she as she tells Brent that this is the song that she's going to dance to at her wedding when she finally finds her prince.
Oh, well, yep.
And then she says, but you're not him. And then she stomps the knife down even harder through his foot, like just with her own foot, like stomps on it.
Okay.
And then screams, you're just another frog. And then she she's crazy.
Just okay. A tad.
She steps aside and looks up at Eric and goes, will you dance with me, daddy? Mm-mm. And yes, their dance is as uncomfortable and intimate as you can imagine.
No, I didn't want to imagine.
Yeah. At one point, Lola goes, you're my prince. That's why I can't find anyone who's good enough. It's always been you, daddy. Just you and me.
Ew. Okay.
And then she closes her eyes.
Nope.
And slowly leans in for a kiss.
Nope.
Eric, we see a pained expression on his face. Like he knows he shouldn't, but he wants to.
Oh my God.
And he starts to lean in too.
Okay.
Now, during this time, while they've been totally engrossed in each other, Brent has managed to fish his necklace with the razor blade on it out of his pocket.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It falls down onto the chair behind him, and he ends up like falling back and sitting on the chair because he'd been standing from the dancing.
Sure.
So he falls back and like sits on it on the chair to hide it.
Yeah.
And the sound of him like plopping back down onto the chair kind of jolts Lola and her dad out of their moment, and we don't have to deal with a kiss.
Okay, good.
But it's just, you know, the energy being there is enough to traumatize us anyways.
Absolutely.
This is our second survivability check-in.
Okay. This movie is so weird.
It's so weird.
It's so uncomfortable.
Oh, I wanted to tell you, I can tell you at this point, like the premise that I saw.
Oh, yeah. No, please do
was basically just like, high school girl gets her revenge for being rejected from the prom. Oh. And I was like, oh, I've seen a billion male rejection movies. Oh. I very rarely see like female rejection. I was like, that's interesting. I like the only other thing I could really think of, even though it's a completely different situation, is maybe Carrie, where it's like a woman, a girl gets revenge, but like for being like rejected just on a social scale, like from her peers. This is just not that. But it's like the only thing where I'm like,
yeah,
I really don't see this very much, actually.
Fair. True. Yeah.
Okay. Act two. Three questions.
All right.
Could you free yourself from the ropes that Lola and her father have binded you with?
Are we talking like when he did? Because he tried twice, right?
Yes. He's tried twice, but I'm kind of putting them both into one.
Sure. Okay. It sounds like yes. I'm always kind of like with these types of things, like if they could do it, I probably could.
Sure.
If they couldn't, I probably couldn't. Because it's like untying a rope behind your back. If you have enough time, then yes. So I'm going to go like 72 on this one.
I went 42.
Really? Okay.
Just because of the behind me situation, I feel like I would just panic too much. Because you
I
have
see
to.
That, yeah.
If I could see it in front of me, I could probably maybe, but for some reason, like it being behind my back and like the craziness in front of me, I'm like, I don't know if I could deal with this and like manage. I would try, but I did go under 50.
Yeah, especially like if you're like nervous and shaky.
Yes.
Because you need to use your hands. Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I had a really actually hard time with the act two questions.
Sure.
Because it feels like we're just kind of overall screwed. There's no specific moment.
Yeah.
Because, like, even if you run, where do you run? Like, he's going to get you. Like, what are we supposed to do? It's really hopeless.
Yes.
So I had a hard time, like, pinpointing questions. But so then these next two are, like, especially vague, but it's just got to happen.
Yep.
Could you successfully escape and run away to safety at any point?
Probably not.
Right.
I mean, it sounds like he hid under one of the few places he could.
Yeah.
The truck. They still managed to get him.
Yeah.
It sounds like they were going to, regardless. I don't know why I'm, like, really feeling this number in this episode, but, like, 18.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Those, like, upper teens right now is kind of just, like, my vibe.
That's so weird because I've felt myself feeling a number as well a lot in this episode, and I stuck with 9 again.
Interesting. Okay.
That's so weird.
Huh. That is weird. Yeah, because last time you said 9, I said 18.
Yes.
That's so weird. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so basically we're pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
I don't know if this question is fair because it's my personal read on the situation, okay. But do you think you'd be capable of winning a mind game against Lola and convincing her to let you go? I feel like she's right. That kind of crazy where we can bring up this yes. question.
And I think especially because like she's like, when I find my prince, you're not my prince.
Right.
Clearly, she's looking for someone.
Yeah.
And maybe if you went along with
cater
it.
Cater to
sure.
that. Yeah.
This feels like one where I don't think I could. And I don't know mm-hmm. why. I don't know what it is about this one. But I just feel like your immediate instinct is going to be to fight back.
Mm.
And then to come back from that, you're not going to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't know why it's so different in other movies, but this one I don't feel good about.
I agree.
I'm going to say 16.
I went 23.
Okay.
Similar.
Yeah.
There's something about it too where I'm like, I feel like you can be, but I don't know if I could. I don't know right. what that is.
There's something weird about this one where I'm just like, probably not.
Yeah.
All right. So that makes my Act 2 score a 35%.
Okay. Mine's 25.
Yikes.
Rough.
I can't believe how low this is. This is crazy. This is not what I was expecting today at all.
I know. I will say my highest score is Act 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. Okay, so I didn't say it earlier, but in the film, we saw Eric pick up some roadkill at one point.
Alrighty.
And this is when we find out why. After chopping this little animal's head off, I couldn't tell you what animal it is.
Uh-huh.
Eric and Lola then pull back a rug in the living area, revealing a trap door. And when they open it up, we hear the gasping screams of a group of victims.
Oh my God.
Down in the cellar.
Ew. Okay.
Eric pours a bucket of water down to them. Like, doesn't even drop down a bucket of water. Pours water down to them.
Oh my God.
And Lola says, sing for your supper, like wanting them to scream more before throwing the roadkill down there too for them to fight over and eat.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Delish.
Then Lola turns to Brent and tells him, you're my first drilling. And her dad comes over with a drill and instructs her, the trick is not to go too far, just enough to break through the skull.
Oh, okay.
So she does it, all of this with the intention to lobotomize him, just like all of their other victims.
Right.
She breaks through the skull. It's successful. It's gnarly. I don't understand how Brent is still okay. But this isn't the only thing to complete the lobotomy. The next step is to pour boiling water into the hole.
Stop.
Yeah. Which Eric brings over. And again, it's Lola's first time doing this herself, so when she tries to pour it in, she accidentally gets some of the boiling water on her dad's hand. And because Eric is like currently holding Brent's head in place and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So she freaks out and apologizes and asks her dad to drill the hole bigger so that it's easier for her to pour the water in correctly.
Dude, this is like nauseatingly bad
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
Yeah. That's interesting. I think for some reason this part wasn't the worst part to me.
I think it's building. It's just all been
it
built
is,
up.
It's this, all building.
This
yes.
This whole episode is just like.
I think oh. for me it was the salt. I think the salt was the worst.
Oh, see, like, I've seen that
feeling.
Before.
I have too, and it gets me every time. I hate it so bad. I don't know why. I mean, I know why, but opposed to
my,
other things.
But you know, the scene.
The scene. I do know the scene.
Yes. And that's all I can think about every time someone brings up salt.
So. Okay. Well,
so like then my brain just goes, ooh.
Well, yeah, yeah. No, I'm still scarred. I'm still, I just don't know.
Which is valid.
Yeah, it's like one of those random things.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I do.
And apparently for you, just to like boiling water and into a drilled skull is one of those things.
Yeah, yeah. That one gets me a little bit.
Yeah, just a little. Ugh. So Eric picks up the drill and is about to work on making the hole bigger. Yeah. But through all of this, Brent has been working away at the rope behind his back with that razor blade.
Right. Yes, we have that.
And while Eric is actively drilling through his skull, Brent manages to free himself and then slashes the razor blade deep across Eric's face.
Oh, okay. He goes right for it.
Then Brent grabs the drill that Eric drops, cuts through the ropes at his ankles with it, and then pulls the knife out of his foot just like real quick. Bop.
Whoa, this is I don't think I could do that. It's too much, too quick.
All the while, Lola's standing there frozen in shock, crying over the cut on her dad's face. She can't handle seeing him like that.
Okay. It's okay. It's okay, baby girl.
I also don't know. I've thought I put it in here by now, and maybe I put it in later, but that also Bright Eyes, the woman, the lady with that scar on her, or wound on her forehead. So she has been lobotomized as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Brent stands up, the drill in one hand, the knife in the other. Eric comes charging toward him, and Brent just throws the drill at him, like right in his face, and then walks up and stabs Eric with the knife multiple times in the side of the neck.
Okay.
Lola jumps on Brent's back, trying to stop him. He falls back, and it turns into them rolling around in like a tussle, and he's able to get in a good few punches, knocking her out. And then he goes and pushes Eric down through the trap door, and the victims below begin to feed on him.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Insane, everything that he just was capable of doing.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Right there.
But then we get jump scared with Lola coming up behind Brent and pushing him down into the cellar, too.
Oh.
And she's freaking out. She's freaking out seeing the victims feed on her dad. So she just starts throwing things down at them to try to get them to stop.
Yep.
And she throws the hammer. She throws the water bucket. She throws the flashlight. Like, she's throwing everything nearby.
Oh, okay.
Nothing is going to stop them. Her dad is dead. Like, probably just from even, like, the knife wounds.
Yes.
And she closes the trap door, which is, like, this heavy metal
trap door.
Down in the cellar, Brent grabs that flashlight. And these lobotomized victims are stalking toward him, wanting to eat him too, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They're starving. But he's got that hammer. So he starts whacking away at them. And we cut to Mia and Jamie.
Hey, guys. What's up?
They left the prom. And they went out to his car to have sex in the school parking lot. And then the teacher who told them to leave comes knocking on their window and tells them to get off school property.
Oh, my God.
Crazy. So we see Jamie take her home, and I think I was supposed to realize much earlier than this, but he drops her off at home, and we see that her dad is the police officer who was called over to Brent's house and found his things.
Oh, okay.
And when Jamie drops Mia off, she stumbles past her dad on the porch and inside without a word, and Jamie just like awkwardly is like, what? I just must have danced her off her feet tonight, sir. I don't know.
Crazy.
And the dad just looks back at him like he knows that that's not what's up with her, but he doesn't say anything either. And he's just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Up to Mia, her father walks upstairs and opens up her bedroom door where she disappeared into as soon as she got home. And she's like in the fetal position on her bed crying. And when her dad opens up the door, she just cries out, "Why can't you find him?" And we see a picture who we realize is her brother on her nightstand. It's Timmy Valentine, Lola's last victim that was in the road.
Okay.
Over to Lola, she walks into Bright Eyes' room. Bright Eyes is lying on her bed, and Lola grabs a pillow and says, "Good night, mommy," and smothers her to death.
Oh.
So.
Just cause.
I actually, you know what? I didn't even really think deeply about it until 2 seconds right now. I think now that her dad is dead, she doesn't care about her mom. Because there was this thing. So that's her. Right. So this is her mother.
It's her actual mother?
Yeah. Because she says, good night, mommy. I'm assuming that means literal.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And I'm assuming, like, she had a jealousy toward her mom because mm-hmm. of, obviously, her dad and mom's relationship. And even when downstairs, she was like, who's prettier, me or Bright Eyes?
Right.
Like, comparing herself to her mom. I think she has a hatred for her. And the only reason that she was alive is because Eric didn't want her to die.
Yep.
And now that her dad is dead, she's like, well, I can kill my mom now.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good, yes.
Now we cut to Brent's girlfriend, Holly, lying in her bed, and she's thinking about how Brent told her that Lola Stone asked him to prom. So she ends up giving the officer, his name is Paul, a call to let him know. She's like, I don't know, because they're kind of desperate for any information at this point.
Right.
She's like, tells him, like, Lola Stone asked him and he rejected her. I don't know if she's someone to look into.
Yeah.
And Paul drives directly over to Lola's house.
Oh.
He looks through the front window and sees a shit ton of blood all over the floor in the front room.
Yeah.
So he breaks in through the front door with his gun at the ready. Down in the cellar, Brent has fought off all of the victims.
Damn.
And hears him break open the door upstairs and starts trying to scream for help. Mm-hmm. But his screams aren't loud enough to be heard.
Right.
So he starts throwing anything he can, like anything he can get his hands on. He throws it up at the cellar door.
Yeah.
Paul does hear this. So he goes and he opens that door and he sees Brent. And then Lola comes up behind him with an axe.
Come on.
Really annoying. Brent points and tries to talk to warn him. You know, his vocal cords are fucked up. It's enough to get Paul to turn around, but he doesn't have the time to dodge the axe to the face.
Nice.
He dies on impact and falls down into the cellar.
Oh, the most frustrating part of a horror movie. The like the help comes and just immediately gets gone.
It's so frustrating. Brent grabs the gun that fell with him and starts shooting up at Lola.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's shooting up at Lola, but she runs out of the way in time and she spots Brent's razor blade necklace on the floor, which she picks up. And then she goes, I'm going to your house now. I'm going to stab your mommy in the neck just like you did to my daddy. And then I'm going to stab Holly in the heart just like you did to me. Okay, girl.
Great.
So cut to Lola walking down the road in her prom dress. It's morning now. The sun is out. She's covered in blood. She's holding her scrapbook and heels in one hand and a knife in the other.
What a freaking image, dude.
I know. And she's got that razor blade necklace around her neck. And then she sees a car come driving down the road. So she hides off to the side. We see that it's Holly.
Her hiding off to the side as if she wasn't just walking down the middle of the road in daylight.
Like, why aren't you just walking on the side in the ditch?
Yeah, no. Like, that's so funny. Oh, no. Somebody's coming. Let me hide. Yeah.
So she goes into the ditch and then she sees as the car comes closer that it's Holly. And when she drives past Lola, Lola throws her scrapbook at the windshield, causing Holly to slam on the brakes. Like, what the hell was that?
Uh-huh.
And then Lola opens up the passenger side door.
Oh.
Walks up, opens the passenger side door and looks absolutely terrifying, standing there all bloody.
Yeah.
Holly notices Brent's bloody razor blade necklace around her neck. And her suspicions are now confirmed.
Yeah.
And as soon as she realizes, like, processes what's happening, Lola launches herself into the car at Holly with the knife aimed to kill.
Ooh.
But Holly grabs Lola's forearm and pushes back against her, stopping Lola from bringing the knife down. And they struggle back and forth. It's a battle of pretty equal strength.
Okay.
Holly manages to get her car door open behind her and they fall out onto the pavement. Holly's dodging like every swing of the knife. And then she manages to kick Lola in the face, which gives her time to stand up and get a small head start on just running away.
Fighting someone who has a knife with like no weapon sounds horrifying to me.
Oh my God. I know.
Just it's
the worst. Exactly. Yeah, it's the worst.
Don't like that.
Back to Brent, he's decided to stack up the bodies of the victims and climb up on top of them to reach the opening of the cellar.
Not a bad idea.
Morbid, but yeah, a good idea.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Lola left that, like, heavy door open when she left. So he does successfully get out.
Okay.
Then cut to him driving Paul's police car down the road.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, my God.
At the same time, Lola is chasing Holly down the road on foot.
Oh my God.
Brent is pushing 140 miles per hour down the road.
Jesus.
And as he's coming up over a hill, Holly appears and he swerves out of the way. But now he manages to go around her and then get back onto the road and get control of the car again.
Yes.
And then he like looks back to see what that was and like, was that Holly? What the heck? And then when he looks forward, Lola is crashing into his windshield.
Oh, perfect.
Yes.
That's all I wanted. That was all I wanted right then.
She rolls onto the road behind him. He stops the car. Holly runs to it, gets in the passenger seat, and they just kind of cry and hold each other for like 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Lola isn't dead, but she can't get up either. So she starts like crawling down the road, the army crawling, toward the back of the police car, unwilling to give up. Her hand is literally hanging onto her wrist by a hinge. It's like 85% disconnected.
Oh, gross.
Lola and Brent look back and see her, and the rock music kicks in. The emo rock music kicks in. And Brent puts the car in reverse.
Hell yeah.
And runs her over a second time, officially killing her. We cut to Brent pulling up in the car with Holly at home, and the movie ends with like his mom running out and hugging him. So like somewhat of a happy ending, but like we're just so extremely traumatized. And there's a lot of physical stuff going on. Like he has a hole in his skull.
Yeah, that's true.
He has like salt in wounds, and there's just a lot going on with him. Like I just hope he'll be okay physically. I don't know about mentally, but
yeah, right.
Yeah, I would also just like to let you know that in the end credits, it's just pink sparkles floating everywhere.
Oh,
it's really beautiful. And of course, it's the song. It might not be enough. So that's it. He wins. It kind of.
Wow. Oh my God.
I know.
It's an overwhelming one.
A lot. It's a lot. For some reason, because you know I don't like exploitative horror.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like for some reason it didn't feel like that to me, even though it's very much like insane shock value torture happening. I don't know, like balanced with – it was very interesting. Like because we have this whole storyline of just like a normal teen drama
happening
with like Jamie and Mia.
That's so true.
And I mean there's the tie-in of course of like she's dealing with what happened to her brother.
Yep.
Because of this family. And so it connects in that way. But really, it just feels like two teenagers having their own little side quest love story. It's, I don't know if you'd call it love, but you know what I mean.
No, for sure. Because you don't need all of that build up to get to that end point of like her being related to the, you know, the kid.
Right.
And so yeah, like it is kind of interesting to have this, like you're cutting from the insane, gross torture stuff to like, oh, and they're dancing high as fuck at prom.
Yes. Yeah.
Weird contrast there.
And I will say it's like a really standout performance for me. The woman who played Lola.
Oh, yeah.
She was like in her late 20s when she did this role. I looked it up because I was just like, well, I actually looked it up when they almost kissed because I was just like, what? What do we make? How old is this actress? Like, what are we making her do right now? It kind of made me uncomfortable in that way. And then she was like in her late 20s, and I was like, okay, because she looks young. It's not one of those, like, why is this 30-year-old playing a high school student? Like, she looked young.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah, I think a lot of it was the performance from her was really a standout. It wasn't like, wow, chainsaw torture. Like, I've seen this villain a million times.
Yes.
Okay. It was different. And you know, yeah,
it's interesting that you say that because that was like one of the major things with Dangerous Animals was it was like the performances.
Yes,
movie
you're right.
Were such a standout, which is what like made the movie so good. So it sounds like that's one thing the director is very serious about.
Yes,
like finding really good people to portray these roles.
Yeah,
so that's cool.
Because yeah, there was not like a weak actor in this movie. Like all of them were great.
Yeah,
and yeah, I think just the aesthetic of like the teen movie soundtrack song like over it, and like there's so much glitter and sparkles and pink and dresses.
Yes.
It's like that contrast of like such intense torture with this girly pop aesthetic. It was there's a lot of things about this movie that made it stand out to me in a way that most like exploitation horror falls stagnant and all feels the same. I wouldn't even call it exploitation horror. I'm just saying that because it's like so intense with like the torture journey it brings you on. And yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Okay. So I have 6 questions.
Okay.
Could you fight off the lobotomized victims with a hammer? I know I skipped the part where it's like, can you get free?
Yeah, yeah.
Because like I kind of put like the can you get free, can you get away in the middle.
Yeah,
and now it's
and
just
fine.
Like we got to accept that we've gotten free for this final act because so much of it is that.
Yeah.
But anyways, fair. Yeah. Could you fight off the lobotomized victims with a hammer?
I think higher than 50%.
Mm.
I don't know, just like the based on the energy of it. I would say like 62 maybe.
I went 66.
Okay. Perfect. Yep. Yeah. It just seems like it should be doable.
I agree. They're like really fucked up.
Yeah.
Like physically, they're very fucked up.
Right. Exactly.
From everything they've been through. So it's kind of like, okay, we can maybe do this. Really dark though that we have to.
Yeah.
Because those poor people. But, oh, also, sorry, side note. I thought that Timmy Valentine was going to pop up again because they were like,
oh, yeah.
He got away. And like, obviously we almost hit him and we know he was alive at that point. Because we didn't hit him at the beginning in the opening scene.
Sure.
And it's like it just ends on like a really dark note of like Mia being fucked up that her brother is still gone and missing. And I'm not sure if he like did die somewhere, but like his body hasn't been found.
Yeah. I'm trying to look up no sequel or prequel. I don't know. My thought was like maybe they were like, ooh, sequel.
Right. No.
But yeah, because like it does feel like something that should come back up.
And maybe they were hoping for a sequel and then obviously it bombed it at the box office.
True.
So maybe that is, maybe we were supposed to get a Timmy Valentine sequel because I was just like, well, where is he? Is he dead?
Yeah.
Did he get away?
Like, what's the deal?
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay. Weird. Anyways, second question. Would you call for backup as an officer after looking into a crime scene through someone's front window? It's very clearly like, holy shit. Shit's going down or it's gone down in this house. Do you call for backup rather than go in?
Yeah. I feel like we had this question recently.
I think so. We've definitely had it.
Very familiar. Oh, was it the chalk line episode?
Or was it? Was it that recent?
Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. But either way, I may not be in law enforcement, nor do I know exact protocols, but I'm pretty sure protocol is going to tell you call for backup.
I would think so.
Don't go walking in there by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if like he did it with like if there's like an emotional connection with this being you know, connected to the other stuff.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call for backup though. So I'm gonna say 87.
Oh my god. In my mind I guessed that you were gonna say 86. I don't know
really?
Why. I just knew you're gonna be in the 80s. I went 95.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I'm too scared.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's protocol or not. Like, I'm not, I can't go in there.
You're like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Okay. Would you think to stack the victim's bodies and successfully escape the cellar?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
This is actually a pet peeve of mine in another very popular movie where they don't properly stack things to get out. And I'm like, it's right there. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think yes. I think that I would look by. That's like if the doors are left open, that's the first thing I'm going to do. Look for anything to stack. And yes, I will think to use the bodies.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 93.
I went 68.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it just the thought of it creeped me out so bad that I couldn't let myself have a high score. It was just like,
yeah,
this is so crazy. I don't know. I mean, it feels like maybe I should go higher and I just let my – I got spooked and I was like, I don't know. I feel like a scaredy cat right now and I'm just going to go 68, you know?
No, I think it's easy to think like, because that is like a logical thought process.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like very much like putting myself in the life or death and also
wasn't
watching the movie. So I wasn't feeling that same level of disturbingness.
Yeah. Okay. Would you keep driving if something large hit your windshield?
No.
Yeah. In this case, the scrapbook, but we don't know that.
Wait, hold on. I got to think about this, actually.
Okay.
I have a tendency to, like, just not give a fuck a little too much about these sorts of things. Like, when I drove all the way to Boston with my tire making a thumping noise the
entire immediately
way.
What I thought of, yes.
Yeah. So I did do that. I probably would be like, I might stop for a second. Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go 50.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know if I would or not.
Like,
really,
you might
know.
Slow down and be like, well, am I good? And then if you think you're good, just keep going.
Yeah, that more like that. Yeah. But yeah, I'm not sure.
I went 7. I think I really would 100% be like, instinct slam on the brakes. What the fuck was that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty confident. I've never had an experience like that, though. But I feel pretty confident in that being my reaction.
Yeah. That's the right reaction, by the way, everyone. That's what you should do. Well,
it isn't always. It isn't often good to slam on the brakes either, because especially like if something hits me on the highway, I might slam on the brakes and then all of a sudden someone's hitting me from behind.
You know what I mean? That's actually true. They say like
you should slow down the deer
before yes. you slam on your brakes.
Yes. I've done that. Oh, God. There's a lot of deer by me, and I almost have hit deer a couple times.
Right.
And I don't – well, in that case, I don't slam on the brakes, but, like, I do as much as I can without, like, burning my tires on the road, you know? Yeah. I, like, try to stop, but I'm like, am I about to? Okay, I'm safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Ugh. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Could you win a 1v1 knife attack from Lola?
That sucks, because probably not.
Okay.
Because if you have the knife, you're at such an advantage just turning it the right way. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm going to say that I probably wouldn't. Because, like, even a 1v1 where it's just, like, hands, I'm still not very likely to do well. So you give them a knife.
I mean, it is a teenage girl, which is very rare for us.
But it's a teenage girl versus a teenage girl.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Well, I'm just saying, like, it seems like an equal thing rather than what is often, okay. like, a disparity. You know what I mean? It's usually a woman with a man.
A man.
Yeah.
A big old scary man.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. Okay, so if it was like another teenage girl, I'd probably still be below 50 just because, you know, then you give him a knife.
Yeah.
I'm going to say like 32.
Okay. I went 56.
Okay.
I did go above 50 because I just look at Lola and I hate her so much.
Yeah. No, that's valid.
Like, it's one of those things where I think with me having seen the movie visually, it's one of those things where I'm like, I am going to fuck you up. Like, watch out, you psychopath, you know? But yes, I still had to stay humble and like a bit low, you know, because it's still pretty 50-50 when you're on an equal playing field like that. Well, it's not even totally equal with like the knife situation,
right,
you know.
But I get that. Yeah, I get it.
Okay, and finally, would you make sure Lola is dead by driving over her a second time?
It's not like I brought it up immediately. Yeah. As a backup!
Yeah.
I think it'd be hard to back up over her. Because, like, the initial, it's like, it's you didn't mean to. It happens.
Yeah.
Like, the thought of backing up over somebody, no matter how horrible they are, is, like, really disturbing.
I understand, but this is another thing where I've seen it and I hate her,
like,
so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so hard. I can't imagine doing that to her.
No, I feel like if I'd been through everything I'd been through,
right,
it wouldn't even really cross my mind to not do it. So, like, right. I'll say 92 on that one.
Okay, I won 100.
I know you did.
Yeah.
I know you did. And I think that's good. And I think that's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. My Act 3 score is a 69%.
Oh, ugh. Okay.
Unfortunately.
Mine's a 65.
Okay, so we were like, same range there.
Yeah. And then that brings my overall to a 42.
Okay.
Which I think could be lower, but I think with Act 3 being the heaviest and Brent got out, and it's like everything that happens once he gets free at the end that we have to put ourselves through, I think we can manage.
Right.
Maybe. 42 is still low, but you know what
I
mean?
It's still low, but like it sucks because it's like Act 1 was just so.
Yes.
You didn't do anything wrong kind of vibes. It's just that's where you ended up. So
yes.
My final score for this episode comes out to a 48.
Okay. Is that going to be 45, I believe? Yep. 45%.
Damn. It's not. I wasn't expecting this one to be a lower one for us.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised it's not lower, but it makes sense. The worksheet tells no lies.
Oh, it tells no lies.
When you force yourself to be in their shoes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 45. Wow. That, yep. That checks out.
Yeah.
I figured, I mean, out of 42%, I thought we would be collectively under 50. So then exactly what happened. So
exactly.
Lola just is that scary. And her father is that scary. And they together are disgusting and scary. So
yeah, pretty much.
You guys can check us out on Instagram at I'd Survive Podcast. That is linked in the description of this episode. Also linked below are all the other places you can find us, including our Patreon for video episodes and bonus content, as well as our Discord, where we have an interactive worksheet that you can fill out to let us know. Would you survive?